We are truly thankful to be here this night, and we have been rejoicing, really have. I talked to Brother Titus on the telephone, and he said that this is going to be a preacher's revival. Well, I didn't know at the time he was talking to me, I mean personally, but I've been taken back to Calvary, and Brother Titus knows exactly what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the cross, but I'm also talking about Calvary Baptist Church. That's where I was saved. That's where I was baptized. That's where the Lord called me to preach. And this is that kind of revival to me. It really is. And we've been rejoicing. We came up the other night and we told Brother Titus. Now, he didn't mention it. I don't think he knew what I was talking about. But I asked him to pray for me that the Lord give me grace to slay a few Goliaths. And it's true. And maybe some of you preachers know exactly what I'm talking about. And me and my wife was talking about one of them. That was the television set. We've been dreaming of all kinds of things that we can do to slay that old thing. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, well, then I'll pray for you. And I'm saying that with love. I really am. And that thing can be a burden. So we want to slay it. We want to serve the Lord. And quite frankly, that's a hindrance, not only to me, but my whole church. And that can be a god. We need to get them little G's out of our way. We want to say thank you for all the preacher brethren and the visitors in this area. I'm going to say this for Brother Titus's church benefit, also Brother Rogers and the other churches. We had the pleasure and the blessing of staying in one of the homes of one of the dear saints of this church. And brother, I didn't know. I didn't know what Paul was talking about when he wrote in those letters to thank those churches at given places. I didn't know what he was talking about. But the people of this church are great. Not only in my eyes, but God's. And I want to thank you people. I really love you. We want to tell Brother Titus we are still preaching up there. We even preached on the Lord removing the candlestick. And we were serious. We felt that was the message of the Lord. And the church didn't want that to happen. And the church rallied. And we praise the Lord for that. And there's a lot of thoughts that we receive from all the messages. I've been blessed by the brother and his priest. I really have. I need your prayers this night. We want not to be in the flesh. We want to be and preach what the Lord would have us to preach, and that only. And old Brother Rogers, I'll pick on him a little bit, but he told us that we want to have a conference where we don't grind any axes. And I was thinking my best to get out of that, and I was thinking about honing a few hatchets or something like that. But I'm going to just bring one point. I believe, as has been demonstrated here, the Word. That's the key. We got to follow that Word. And I've been taught by Brother Titus, Brother Rogers, many of the brethren here, and I've been taught to follow my forefathers. Not in error, but in the truth, through the Word that's been preached. Paul has told us in his writings that the Lord burdened his heart with. And these are divine writings. These are not just men. I believe it's God talking to me. And he said to follow after and teach these epistles that Paul has wrote by letter and also by his word, which we have recorded in the scriptures. We need to follow the Lord. Follow the Lord's men. And this is the teaching I'm still learning. We got a good teacher. Let's hang on to him. Brethren, we got something going around in the world today, and If there's going to be any truth, it's going to be in the Lord's church. I believe that. But there's a lot of people going around in the world today, and this is kind of one of my honing a hatchet here. They're calling them great speakers and great writers. I believe the truth is in the church. I say this with sincerity. I'm not trying to be harsh. Why are we seeking writers outside of the church? Why? Now listen, the Bible tells me a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. A writer outside of scriptural truths. If he has a little truth, does that warrant that we study his books? I know you might not agree with this. I know there's a lot of preacher brethren that use a lot of books. But the only reason why I'm bringing this out, so does a lot of members. Be grounded in the truth. Be grounded in this book. I say that sincerely tonight, and that's the only little hatchet I have to hone. But listen, it's important. The greatest writers that we can study is God's men right here. I imagine, I knew before I said that I knew there were some libraries and a lot of the preachers, and I believe you can learn from books. I believe that. This is it. This is our guideline. This is the way to go. I said that, I guess, for an introduction in a way. There's people being led astray today. Not by God. Not by God's men. But ungodly men. Men seeking glory in their own selves. There's people today, and I know it's around you as well as me, that are teaching that you do God a favor, or if you just do something good, you'll be saved. I keep telling everybody, if you're as good as me, you're condemned. Condemned. I want to bring to you tonight a thought that I haven't heard too much. The perseverance of the saints. I want to qualify that. Saints. Perseverance of the saints. In other words, the saved people. Keep on keeping on. Go a little further, but you got to go all the way. I'm saying this for a reason. Notice with me in the book of Matthew, chapter 10. This is something that we don't hear too much about. Now, before you might think about what I just said, only Christians, true Christians, are going to persevere. That's the only ones. A lost man is not going to persevere. Only a saved man. Notice with me in Matthew chapter 10. And we just want to notice some wording here in the verse 22. Verse 22. I want to just point out to you just briefly here through a few scriptures what the Lord says here. Notice in verse 22. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that endureth to the end shall be saved. Now a lot of people take that and they run with it. And they're talking about hanging on to God and everything. I wish Brother Clark was here or Brother Wilson. I could relate to them in a kind of a dog and rabbit story. But let me just point something out before I go a little further. I never knew it at the time, but see, the Lord uses things in your life that will help you later on. I believe that. And when I was young, one day I looked out the window. I looked out the window, and right beside our house, there's a few bushes, a few trees, what have you. I seen an old cat prowling around out there. And that cat, he found a rabbit's nest. It had some young rabbits in there. Alright, that cat, he found out where it was. Before that cat got to that nest to take them little baby rabbits, the mother rabbit came by and grabbed them baby rabbits by the cuff of the neck and took them off to safety. Now, I can liken that unto the perseverance of the saints in this respect. It isn't that we hang on to God, it's that God hangs on to us. This is the whole point I'm really going to make tonight. That's it. It's not like you go to a zoo somewhere and you watch a monkey running around. It might be a she-monkey and that old little baby monkey's hanging on for dear life. And you ever been there, you know what I'm talking about. The baby will hang on to the monkey. The mother is not hanging on to the baby. Like that rabbit, it held on to its young one. The same way with God and His. Perseverance of the saints. Let's just see what the scriptures have to say. As we see here, it tells us, but he that endureth to the end. Now I believe, brethren, and I want this to be an uplifting message, but I believe that we have a lot of people that don't seemingly can endure to the end of a Sunday morning message. I'm not trying to make a joke of it, but the thing of it is, Christians will endure to the end. Not just here today and gone tomorrow. True Christians. No wonder the Lord is going to say one day, depart from me, for I never knew. You know, there's a lot of people that professing the Lord. A lot of people going to churches. But you know, the Scripture teaches me that they must endure to the end. Let's see what the Scriptures say. Notice with me in the book of John, chapter 8. A few Scriptures just to qualify this a little bit. Do the saints have to endure? Can they be saved one day and forget God until the rapture? Isn't that what they're doing? I don't know about you, but it certainly seems that way to me in a lot of cases. We have a Methodist church up in our way that says everybody's going to heaven, so nobody has anything to worry about. Oh, how sad it'll be one day. Notice with me in the 8th chapter, verse 31 of John. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then ye, my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. But notice here, if you continue in my word, you are disciples indeed. What I'm trying to point out in a few scriptures here is there's a continuance. There's abiding. There's an endearing. Listen. Let us look in our heart. Why are we serving God? Why? I want to go to another scripture. The 15th chapter of John. The 15th chapter of God. I believe perseverance is required. It's something that will be there to a true Christian. And don't, as I say, I'm not leaving salvation now in the hands of a sinner. I'm not doing that. I'm talking about saved people already. Saved people enduring to the end. Notice with me in the 15th chapter in verse 4. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I'm the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. Listen. Now, I'm not judging people tonight. I'll leave that up to the Lord and you. You can judge yourself. But are you in Christ? Is your heart drawing close to Him? Now, I'm not saying a Christian will never fall back and get cold. But there's a lot of people that never got there. Never got there. Once we're there, a true Christian will bear some marks. They'll stay in that love. they'll bear good fruit. How about you tonight? Just think about it. Just with me tonight. Perseverance of the saints. Continuing with Him. Not stopping over for a 30-day holiday or a 30-year holiday. But continuing in His Word. Continuing being His disciple. Continually loving Him. Think about these things. One more scripture in the same thought. Acts chapter 11. Acts chapter 11 and verse 23. Acts chapter 11 and verse 23 says this: Who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. What I'm just trying to point out in these scriptures, and just briefly, is there's an endearment or a abiding or a cleaving unto the Lord. Brethren, true disciples will be true to the Lord. They'll want to at least be close to Him. But how many times, I don't know how we can judge them, but brethren, what I just want to point out here is they need to keep on going. There just seems to be a lot of part-time Christians. And there's no worry or no wonderment about it. Part-time Christians. I don't know. After looking back, being revived, it kind of gives you a clearer picture. You look, I didn't know I needed to be revived so bad. I really didn't. You know, that just happens to you, doesn't it? But brethren, I don't know how to express this. I really don't. You pray for me. But I just want to make this one point before I go any further. There has to be abiding. There has to be a hanging on, or at least a wanting. Going on and seeking Him. I've heard people that say, well, yes, I'm saved, but never go to church. And not even want to go to church. People that say that they're saved and never want to follow the Lord in scriptural baptism. I was telling Brother Hilly, I don't know why everybody don't think like me, and then they straighten me out. Everybody ought to be thinking like the Word. Listen, saved people will always be saved people. Persevere. Keep on keeping on. You say, well, we're just human. We can't do it. Yes, we can. We have to. I'm going to have to be a little stronger about it. We have to if we're God's children. There's just no way of getting around it. There's no chance of going any other way. But keep on going. You might say tonight, well, brother, I don't know if I can keep on going. Let me share one more scripture with you. 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. Then we want to kind of turn the table a little bit here. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4. Maybe you're wondering here tonight, and I don't know about you, but there's a warfare going on. And you know what I found out? There's more of a warfare when you're in the battle. You think about it. When you're sliding around with the world, doing the things of the world, boy, it's pretty easy. Hey, being a Christian's a lot of fun. No, not in that realm. There's a battle going on. Brother Titus said there wasn't going to be another speaker. See, I have to talk a while before I can start speaking a little bit, but you know, there's a warfare going on. We need to recruit more people all the time. We do. I told Brother Titus and Brother Rogers and some of the other brethren, I came up to them the other night and I said, I need you. I do. I don't think Brother Titus has any idea. Well, maybe he does. I guess he probably would. But I need him. I need fathers in the faith. Me and Brother Jones, he's my father. My pastor. We hugged each other the other night. And you know what? I needed that. You say, oh, that's awful sissified and this and that. You know, I got more strength from that. Oh, I don't know. I'll need that power to slay those Goliaths. And I need you. I do. Look at these brothers here tonight. They know what I'm talking about. We all got our little big Goliaths in our life. But you know what? We got to keep on going. This perseverance of the saints is not just talking of just anybody, but me and you. I'm not talking about lost people gaining salvation. I'm talking about saved people being God's people. Keep on, keep an eye. Notice with me in 1 John 5:4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. You want to overcome the world? Faith. You know, it took me a long time to figure out what I needed to overcome the world. Faith. But faith in what? Faith in God's promises. That's it. That's our faith. Is in the promise of God. Believing what God has said. That's how we have the power to keep on going. And the same way with you. You might say, well, I'm not a preacher. I'm not a deacon. I'm not the song leader or this or that. But any member of any church, scriptural church, that wants to keep on going, just keep on trusting in the promises. I got encouraged from the brother's message there of encouragement. I did. I needed it. But we all need to keep on keeping on. But how? How can we do it? How can we endure to the end when the world is denouncing us and always has, as the brethren has told us? But even now, look about you. There's more and more things happening right now that are just like pressures. Many of our brethren are compromising and even, well, let me give you a good example. I was taught by a brother in Jackson. Loved him. Still love him. He taught me against Pentecostalism, against the tongues, against the various false churches. He taught me. And he went right into it. Head over heels. Brother, how can we keep on going? How can we just keep on going if everybody's going against us? How can we do it? Maybe that's the first step. Get me and I out of the picture. And start looking. Looking unto Him. Now we want to go down a little stream. We've got to go with Him. Don't follow me all the way. Except that I'm following His steps. The same way with any brother here. We got to go God's way. Faith in His promises. You know, I think Jonah pretty well summed it up. Salvation is of the Lord. How can you persevere now? I believe this is what we need. I believe we need to know how we can overcome the worldly ways. Now we have a competition going on. But we don't have a competition with worldly tools. We have something different completely. We're in competition. But we're not to enter into that competition with worldly goods. We have a different kind of weapon to use. God, the power of God, the Word of God, and we have to take it to the world. Let's look on. How then can we overcome this that's about us? Any of you brethren say that isn't hard? Well, I don't know what to say about it. I say it's hard. I believe it is. I ask, it's even harder when you have a few Goliaths in your church. How can we do it? Notice with me in Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22. I want just to point this out. This is the fruit of the Spirit, not the fruits. That's very important. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and I have to stop at the next one, faith. Faith. Brothers, we wouldn't have faith if it wasn't given to us. Some people say, hey, now wait a minute. I got to make up my own mind and this and that. God's going to give you the abilities now. Your beginning is when you were saved. That's your beginning. That's your hope. That's your start in the warfare. But listen to me. If it wasn't for God, we wouldn't even have the faith to overcome the victory. I believe that. I believe that God has the power. If He gave it to me and He said He wouldn't take it away from me, well, I'm going to overcome. Through Him. Through His Spirit that dwells within me. The fruit of the Spirit, part of that fruit, is faith. The Lord grants repentance and faith. The Lord does that. What I'm trying to do is turn this around. How are we going to overcome the world? We're going to overcome it with the Lord. Not ourselves. Not ourselves. The Spirit of God. It just keeps coming. Day by day. It just gives us more. Gives us more in a time of need. Like Paul, when he said when he was down so far, what happened? The Lord gave him power. The Lord gave him power. Give him grace to keep on going. Notice another scripture with me just quickly here. In Ephesians chapter 1. The book of Ephesians chapter 1. How can we endure? Notice in verse 11. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed. Sealed. With the Holy Spirit of promise. You know how long you're sealed with the Holy Spirit? Until the day of redemption. Listen to me, brothers and sisters. I know it's going to be hard. I know it is. We listen to our brethren as they tell us as these end times. It's going to be hard. But listen, the Spirit of God has got us. I like to look this way. The Lord and the Father just got us, just like this. And the Spirit has got us bound. In other words, there's no way we can get out of the hands of the Lord. Amen. Tonight, if you're going to endure, if you're going to keep on going, it's going to be by the power of God. That's it. That's the way. Perseverance of the saints is not something that gives us that salvation, but it shows it. It shows it. You know, the scripture says, faith without works is dead. Now, I'm not saying that you're working for your faith, but because of your faith, you'll have works. We got to keep going. Just examine yourself tonight. Just think about it. Are you going on? Or have you given up a long time ago? What are you trusting on? What are you depending on? What are you looking for? The Spirit of God, it preserves us. It keeps us. The power of God keeps us. And it'll let us go. Here's one that'll clinch it for us, though. Philippians chapter 1. The book of Philippians, chapter 1 and verse 6. Notice this. I like this one. Being confident of this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. What's the scripture say? It says something that he started, he's not going to leave it undone. The Bible tells me that he molds us, he makes us. As we're a dead thing. Something that can't do nothing spiritually, and he makes us alive. That's like my little boy. He's my little boy. He could die and go to be with the Lord, but he'd still be my little boy. God started a work in me. The Bible tells me God started it. The Spirit of God made me alive. And he's going to finish that work to the praise of his glory. Now he's going to do it all. Will we make it to the end? Will we? Now, the reason why I'm bringing this to you, I'm still spinning my wheels here. But listen. True saints will keep going. They will. It just seems like I talk to people or I see people and it seems like they've given up and they just crawl up in a hole somewhere. God's saints don't do that. Why? Because they have the power of God. They could come and kill us all, brother. They could. They could do that. People could be around us all over right now. You say, no, that won't happen. What? But we're going to keep going. By God's grace. By God's power, we'll keep going. You know, we got to. Just for love, if nothing else. Just think about it. Do you love him tonight? Do you have a care for him tonight? Well, think about it, wouldn't you? Reach your heart out tonight and just... Do you have a relationship tonight that'll give you momentum just to keep on going? Do you have a heavenly love? Enduring love? How about you tonight? Jesus. That's how I'm going to persevere. Jesus. He loves me. He does. Now, you might say, and you're probably, Brother Rogers is probably saying right now, nobody loves that guy. But listen, Jesus does when nobody wants. I could be most terrible sometimes, but Jesus still loves me. Brother Hilly might disown me someday. But Jesus will still love me. You know, I can get all crippled and lame. Get blind. Get disfigured where nobody would ever want to look at me. But Jesus is going to be right there. You know, according to some people, I'm not a Baptist preacher. Yeah, or any kind of preacher, as far as that goes. Well, sometimes I can't argue with that. But listen. Jesus will love me when I'm walking through the mud. He'll love me when it just seems like the world's against me. I think of that prophet that had to just go underneath that tree and he thought he was the only one. Brother Titus knows I thought I was the only one and I give him a call. And he just told me to join the crowd. But listen. we can't make it. Well, I can't make it alone. That's why I talk to these dear brethren. That's why I say I need you. You know, we need a fleshly help too. Maybe that doesn't sound too spiritual, brother, but I do. My wife, she's a helpmate. She helps me. Our greatest help comes from Jesus, the Father, the Holy Spirit. We can't do without it. So why are we doing without it? This conference has been a blessing to me. It's given us power. Given me power. Listen. We can't make it alone. So let's quit trying. Go with Him. Think about it. Jesus prays for me. He does. He's my advocate. He's the one when I just don't know what to say. And brother, this is not just speech. I have many prayers that all I can say is help. I'm serious. I imagine sometimes when people get close to me and if they could hear me, I don't know if my wife ever has or not, they'd think I was a Pentecost or something. All I'm doing is moaning and groaning. Lord, I just don't know. Preacher, brother, we have to persevere. I know we will, because the truth is going to stay here. The church is going to be here. Here's a little encouragement too, because if there's going to be, there's going to be a pastor for those churches too. Brethren, let's walk with Him. Let's hang on to His hand. I'm seemingly finding out there's getting fewer hands to be helped. I say that with love. It just seems like, well, I can pick on Brother Clark. He isn't here, I guess. But I called him up. And we told him he had a bunch of friends up north there. He told me, he said, I didn't think I had that many friends anywhere. Now, we get in the valley, don't we? Sure we do. Maybe you don't understand what I'm saying. Everybody here probably loves Brother Clark to pieces. But we all get in that boat. Look at old Noah. Look at Noah. Look at all the friends he had. Even at times his family wondered about it. Sure. Wouldn't we? Sure we would. Him and his family alone got in that ark. But he persevered. He was in the ark. He was in the protection of God. Listen tonight. We persevere the same way. We got the same ark. Type-wise, Jesus Christ. Think about it with me. You know, we're going to have to keep going. Well, how are we going to do it? You get mumbling and complaining and whining and everything and start thinking about your own strength. You know what's going to happen? You're going to fall. You're going to get right down that old hole. I believe there's going to be some harder times. You say, well, we're having a great conference. We're being lifted up. I am. I might sound like I'm drowning in the mud right now. But listen, I feel good. But we got to keep going. And Brother Cummins, we're talking about taking this revival back with us and just keep on preaching at my church there for a while. But you know what? The Lord's got to be a step ahead of us. You pray for us in that respect. Let me keep going here. We persevere because of the Word. The washing, the cleansing of the Word. We persevere again because of Jesus, because we're not condemned anymore. Think about that. Notice with me in the book of Romans. The book of Romans, chapter 8. The book of Romans, chapter 8. Book of Romans, chapter 8, and verse 1. I want to read this first verse here. Let's go up to verse 24 in the 7th chapter. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. You know, it's like hanging on. Now, I want to stress again, I'm not advocating that we're hanging on or we have to keep on for our salvation, but because of it. But it's the spiritual man that is striving after Jesus Christ. I believe, brethren, that we're talking of a saving of a soul, but also of a life. But you know, there's a lot of lives. It seems like that they're just going to be turned over to destruction of the flesh. That's something altogether different, but I want us just to keep on going. But we can keep on going knowing that we're not under condemnation anymore. Jesus Christ has freed us from that, us that believe and has trusted in Him. I take this serious tonight, maybe too serious. But brethren, there has to be a keeping on. There has to be. And somehow I see people around about me and they take salvation so lightly. But it's a life and death thing. It's not just a convenience. It's life and death. And then when it comes to serving our Savior, what happens? That life and death situation seems to disappear. Disciples are those who keep clinging, keep wanting to serve Him. How about you? Do you? Think about it. The Romans, the 8th chapter, and verse 29. I think this will pretty well clinch us for as far as if we're going to make it or not. It's in God's hands, but are we going to make it? Let's see. The 8th chapter in verse 29. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate, to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. Think about that. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us,